You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. It's always great to be in studio, and today we welcome our Bible Answer Man Facebook live audience, along with people who are listening to us in other digital media platforms. The broadcast today is combining, as we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays, combining what I do on radio with what we do through the social media platforms. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered via the radio, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can also contact us via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants. They're available when you dial 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, I want to welcome our Facebook live audience. So many people listening in. Brian from New Zealand listening in. We have Daniel from Fort Myers, Florida. Jacqueline from Houston, Texas, and many others are joining us on Facebook Live. I want to start the broadcast today, before we go to callers, with a little story about Muslim eschatology. I wrote about this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And what I'm doing is I'm contrasting and comparing what Christianity teaches with respect to the essentials of the historic Christian faith and how Islam absolutely subverts that. So let's talk about that for a moment. If you go to the Old Testament prophet Daniel, he likened resurrection at the end of time to the glory of the stars. Remember these epic words? I think it's in Daniel chapter 12, where Daniel says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise are going to shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." The resurrection that is envisioned in Daniel is ubiquitous. Daniel is not just speaking about the disembodied state that follows death, but he's talking about the bodily resurrection which follows Christ's second coming. And Jesus talked about this. He gave certainty to resurrection. In other words, he let us know what is going to occur at the consummation of history. And I've quoted this many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Jesus saying, "Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." John chapter 5, I believe, 28, 29. So in Islam, just like in Christianity, there's life after life in that the soul is said to have conscious awareness after death. But just as there's life after life, so too there is life after life after life in that, in accordance with Islamic eschatology, all will be recreated at the final hour. But here's the difference. In Islam, those whose good works outweigh their bad get to go to paradise. Conversely, for those whose bad deeds outweighed their good deeds, the fires of hell await. And in Islam, it is said that the fire will burn their faces, and they will therein grin with their lips displaced, Quran 23. And while descriptions of hell are beyond gruesome, I'm not going to get into that, descriptions of heaven, by contrast, are beckoningly glorious. The Huris in Islam, who the Hadiths carefully distinguish from female believers, are described in the Quran as chaste with glancing eyes like pearls, or as guarded eggs of equal age or contemporary with the male believers for whom they are intended as a reward. They're described as good and lovely, buxom and virginal. The Quranic descriptions of the Huris are particularly intoxicating to modern-day Islamic jihadists. And we've seen that over and over and over again. But I think back to 2004, it was about the time we were moving to Charlotte, North Carolina from Southern California. There's a 14-year-old would-be Palestinian suicide bomber who told the Israeli troops who disarmed him that blowing himself up is the only chance he'd have to get sex with 72 virgins in the Garden of Eden. And another 14-year-old, I recall, explained just how a jihadist recruiter was enticing him to join jihad in Iraq. The jihadist recruiter was saying, paradise is about virgins. It's about all these incredible things that you can experience in the hereafter. Enticement to blow themselves up. Tragically, most Muslims, like these young Islamic jihadists, are blithely unaware that the sensual visions of paradise that inflame their lusts emanate from the fertile imaginations of actually a Zoroastrian eschatology, which, of course, is bankrupt. There's general unanimity in classical Islam respecting the essentials of eschatology. So here's what we can say for sure. There are substantive differences when it comes to secondary issues, but when it comes to the essentials, again, unanimity. For example, in accord with Sunni Islam, Jesus is going to return before the end of time. He's going to fight the Antichrist and rule according to the law of Muhammad until the world comes to an end. He's going to break the cross. He's going to kill the swine. He's going to abolish the jizya. And then all is going to perish, all religions except Islam. He's going to destroy the Antichrist, and he's going to live on earth for 40 years, and then he's going to die. So that's sort of the Sunni version. The Shia have a slightly different take on the matter. While Jesus does play a role in end time, Sharia eschatology, it's subservient to that of the Mahdi. The Mahdi, not Jesus, in Shia Islam, is the deliverer of the world. He's the one who will make Islam the dominant religion, will eradicate non-monotheistic faiths. And it is the Mahdi, not Jesus, who will, when he emerges from great occultation, destroy the Antichrist, establish Sharia as the universal law of humanity, break the crosses, kill the pigs, and so forth. And while neither Sunni nor Shia is monolithic respecting these details of their end-time scenarios, they are united in reducing Jesus to the administrative deputy of Muhammad. I mean, this is absolutely outrageous. In either case, Jesus is demoted from the creator of all things, including the creator of Muhammad, to a mere caste member in the Muslim eschatological charade. So over the last week or so, what I've attempted to do is lay the straight stick of essential Christian doctrine next to the Islamic counterfeit and by contrast demonstrate its crookedness. And so we talked about the deity of Jesus Christ, which is denied. He's rendered a mere slave of a law. Original sin is recast, an original slip, a mere bout of forgetfulness. The divine canon is usurped by the factual errors and faulty ethics of the Quran. the incomprehensible Trinity. It's commandeered by a morally defective Unitarian imposter. Resurrection demoted to a mere fantasy. Incarnation demeaned as blasphemy. And the scintillating truth that those in Christ are new creations is negated by a capricious Allah. And what I just talked about, eschatology, the thread that weaves the tapestry of Scripture into a harmonious pattern, it is sullied by the sensual enticements of a largely incoherent Islamic eschatological charade. Again, I've written about this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the book available in bookstores everywhere. But for those that get Muslim through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend when you join CRI's monthly support team. You can do that on the web at equip.org. You can write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The book also available for those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute this month. Another option you have, and it's a great option, The Last Christians. It's written by Andreas Knopp. And it is an absolute page-turner. I've talked about it all this month. I hope if you do not have it for your support, that you'll get this book, you'll ask for it. And again, a great way to do this is on the web at equip.org. Let's take a call from Tiberius in Pennsylvania, who is listening on the web. Hi, Tiberius.
Hey, how you doing, sir? God bless you for your work.
Thank you.
I'm really, really happy. I'm I'm from Romania original. I'm Orthodox by born, you know what I mean? So, and I want to ask you, because I know you become Orthodox by now, but from an Orthodox perspective, what do you understand the meaning of sin and the repentance, you know what I mean? The sin, I know, is from the Holy Fathers. What I understand is like the energy of the dead who work in an hour and our and man, you know, in our body, and the repentance is like the beginning of the how you say, fight against against the sin, you know. So I want to just give you your you know,
sure.
I mean the meaning, you know.
Yeah, in Christianity in general, when you talk about sin, you're talking about a deprivation of that which is good. And all of us are born with a broken gene, with a propensity towards evil. So all of us have ratified the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And when they fell into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, the rest of the Bible's God's unfolding plan of redemption. And how do we access redemption? Well, we first of all, we hear the good news, and we repent of our sin. In other words, we're making a U-turn on the road of life. It's a change of heart, a change of mind. It's a change of the will. So we're repenting and receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Not only Savior of our life, but Lord. And the beauty, and this is emphasized, particularly in Orthodoxy, many other circles. I mean, I think about the local churches. They emphasize the fact that it's not just that Christ saves us by his death. He certainly does save us by his death. But it's also that Christ saves us into his life, which is to say we can experience life that is life to the full in the present. Of course, we're looking forward to the ultimate in the time to come when Jesus appears a second time. I mean, these are questions. I mean, the question of sin, repentance, receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that are absolutely axiomatic to the historic Christian faith. I mean, if there is no such thing as sin, a deprivation of good, there's no need for a Savior. little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that Jesus Christ would suffer more than any human being, more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity, if there's nothing to save us from. So he's saving us from our sin, and ultimately we will become actualized in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and our Facebook live listeners on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, YouTube, social media platforms all over the world. Be back in just a few moments with more.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you. ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio, and particularly great on this Thursday as we welcome not only our radio listeners on terrestrial and satellite radio, but also people who are listening to us on social media platforms. I'm grateful to God for the strength that He has given me, particularly today, every single day. I'm grateful. I don't take the strength that God has given me for granted by any means. It has been nothing short of miraculous to be able to continue on with my ministry. Sometimes half my day is devoted to hospital visits. Next week is going to be particularly tough for me because I not only have one port now over here, but I'm going to have another port with wires coming out of it put on the other side, so the doctors will be able to harvest my stem cells and then reinsert them later in a bone marrow transplant. But during all of these things, I have been so blessed to be able to continue on with this ministry, and even when I'm in the hospital, we're going to have some incredible shows for you, and I thank people for their prayers, for their well wishes. It has made such a difference to me. Lenita, this is so exciting for me. I've missed your 5 p.m. both radio spot since you left, and so happy you're back. Carolyn Hayward, thank you for your ministry. How is your health? Well, you know, as I just mentioned, it is absolutely incredible. I was sitting in front of the doctor just yesterday, and he said, you know, Hank, you do not look like my other patients, and I don't know what to attribute that to other than the grace of God. I'm just grateful. Carlos Alvarez, I hear a lot of preachers that are proclaiming that they are self prophets, that they themselves are prophets. I think that a prophet who is saying prophecy, and I believe everything has been written on the Bible that is prophecy. Can you tell me more about this? Maybe I'm wrong. No, I actually think, Carlos, you're absolutely right on target with all of this. First of all, there are no prophets today like the biblical prophets. As much as people are saying that they are biblical prophets in the present, in fact, some of them are saying they're super prophets, that the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles would stand in line to get their autograph if they were around. So, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is absolutely true. And it's also true, and you touched on this in your question, it's true that the Bible makes prophecies to demonstrate that the Bible is authentic. I told you these things, said Jesus, before they happened, so that when they happened, you might believe. And this is true both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Prophecies, I was listening to the prophecy of Agabus as I was going through the book of Acts today. The biblical prophets never get it wrong. The problem is modern-day prophecy pundits have been 100% wrong 100% of the time, because what they're supposing is that the prophecies in the Bible have something to do with the 21st century. No, they demonstrate the authenticity of the biblical prophets and the apostles. So good for you, Carlos. You have a good fix on this. Chad Gailey, did heaven as in God's abode always exist as God always exists? Yeah, I mean, there's a sense that we can say that this is so, but we have to be careful when we talk about heaven. We have this idea that heaven is up there somewhere, but that's not a biblical concept of heaven. Heaven, biblically, is paradise lost becoming paradise restored. But as you point out in your question, there's a sense in which heaven also is to be with God, which is to say, my dad died in 1997. He's absent the body. He's present with the Lord. And being in the presence of God and the saints that have gone before us is heaven as well. So we are going to experience that in life after life. We're also going to experience that in life, after life, which is to say we're going to experience it when Jesus Christ appears a second time. But then we're going to experience it not only as a person, but a place. I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About It, about Heaven, the Hereafter, and even near-death experiences. And the reason I added near-death experiences to that particular book, starting, I think, at page 100 in the book, if I can recall correctly. The reason I've done that is because so many people have made a cottage industry of saying they've gone to heaven and come back, and what they're communicating has little to do with the biblical reality. It has everything to do with a fertile imagination or a presupposition that they had before they had the near-death experience. Let's take a question from the radio audience. Jake in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on the web. Hi, Jake.
Hey, I just had a question about once saved, always saved. I don't know if I believe it. I want to see it from Scripture. And I see words like apostasy and examine yourself to see if you're in the faith and other Scriptures that seem to not really go along with once saved, always saved, after you've had the salvation prayer or whatever it is. And I was wondering if you could help me with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a little wary of clever mantras, once saved, always saved. I think what we have to do is look into this a little more deeply. It is true that when you come into a relationship with the triadic one, the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you have an earnest of salvation within you, the Holy Spirit an earnest, guaranteeing what is to come. But it's also true, and I think a lot of people forget this, it's also true that we have to continue on with the Christian life, not in a transactional way, but a way that absolutely is transformative to every part of our being. And that takes continuing on in the graces that we have been given. So once you are a believer, you're in the hand of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and no one will snatch you out of his hand. But I think you allude to correctly biblical passages which infer quite strongly that one can walk away from the faith that they have. They can apostatize. And this is what you find in Hebrews, passages like Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10, where you have Jews. They receive the gospel with gladness, but when difficulty comes, they walk away from the gospel that could be theirs. In other words, they have a said faith as opposed to having a real transformational faith. But I hasten to say that, you know, if you have a genuine relationship with the Lord, the one that starts the work in you, and Paul points this out in many different places, but the one who starts the work in you will carry that work on to completion. So we have the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to continue on in the profession that we have made. The other thing I point out is that the more your relationship develops, the more unlikely it could ever be that you walk away from that relationship. I mean, if you have a genuine relationship with your wife and you nurture that relationship, it's unthinkable that you would walk away from that relationship. Well, these kinds of things happen on a human level, but In our relationship with the Lord, it is really unthinkable that as we develop that relationship and he becomes nearer and dearer to us, that we would walk away from the very one who knit us together at our mother's womb and now is engrafted within us and gives us the ability to live the Christian life, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit.
I mean, the transforming power of Christ is one of the most amazing things, and that's what makes it different from other religions, is that it's not just about this kind of walk, lockstep kind of a thing, but you're transformed. It's about life. I mean, I talk a lot to a lot of people about this. I mean, I don't really see Christianity as a religion. I mean, it is a religion. You have to institute religion. You have to do things like that for humanity, but it's more than that. It's life.
Yeah.
It's everything that is. So I think that understanding in that way makes it so much deeper than that, because it transcends religion.
Yeah, it is. It's all about a relationship. You know, I'm looking at torn always between whether I'm going to go back to another caller or. Look at our Facebook Live listeners on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But Humayun, can you speak in tongues? We almost did, pronouncing that name. I mean, beautiful name. But, you know, what is a tongue, I think, is the real operative issue, Humayun. I think that we have to understand that a tongue, biblically, is a language. And one of the principles I try to communicate with respect to tongues is that if you look at the Old Testament, you will see that there's a time in which men try to build a humanistic tower to themselves. It's called the Tower of Babel or Babel. And those people are then dispersed because their languages are confused. And what you have in Acts is exactly the opposite of that. Instead of a bifurcation, instead of the languages starting to change and therefore separating people, now you have a coming together through tongues so that the gospel can go out to the far reaches of the world. So we understand that the Christian faith is not a parochial faith. It was not just for the Jews, but it was for everybody. And we see that in the book of Acts. Christ is not a parochial Jewish Messiah. The idea is that the gospel may go out to the far reaches of the world, to every tongue or language, people, or nation. I've written about tongues in a far more full-orbed sense in some of the publications that I've developed over the years, including the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you, whether you're listening on Facebook or YouTube, or whether you're listening on radio. However you're listening, we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We not only need you to stand with us prayerfully and financially, but we need people to stand with us, because just as in a church, it's never dependent on one or two people. It's dependent on the body coming together, making a difference for time and for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion, thewebequip.org. We'll be back with more radio in a moment.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book Muslim as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. The quote of the day, I think what I'm going to do is make it Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, see if I can dredge this out of my memory, but we'll put it up on the web at equip.org. You know, this is the great passage in Scripture where John sees a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there's no longer any sea. He sees the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And then he hears a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then later on, we're told in the book of Revelation that these words are trustworthy and true. We can depend on them. And the beauty of this particular passage, particularly as we talk about Muslim eschatology, and I think that's why it's appropriate to have this as the quote of the day, is that in Christian eschatology, we have this beautiful notion of God himself coming to live with us. It's not as though we're going to go up there somewhere. God himself will be with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. And he will be interacting with us. No more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more pain, no more mantle cell lymphoma.
I know. And I was reading in your book about how Muslims see it as people are recreated. And I remember hearing a sermon one time that God's not in the business of recreating. He's in the business of renewing. What he's made was good. It just became sick, and he wants to renew it and to bring it back to him. He's not recreating us. He's not making us something we're not. We're still humans made in his image. We're just brought into the fullness of his revelation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's the great beauty of all of this is that when God makes something, he doesn't scrap it. He redeems it. And that is true with the universe that now groans in travail. It's awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. It's also true we ourselves are going to be liberated, who are going to be resurrected. If you ever want to get a handle on this, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All kinds of analogies from botany and zoology and astronomy and so forth of how we're going to be recreated, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So God's not going to get rid of us. He's going to, the DNA that makes us what we are is going to be recreated without sin. And so you're going to be the perfect you. I'm going to be the perfect me. I'm looking forward to that. Mandu, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Mandu.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I'm praying for you for better health. I hope you get better.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question.
Sure.
I've been listening since I became a Christian to a pastor. His name is John Piper. I've had a few different opinions, and I'd like to get your opinion about his teaching, especially the Christian hedonism.
I mean, his teaching on Christian hedonism, I mean, I don't think it gets any better than that. I mean, he's using a provocative moniker here, but he's doing that purposely. Actually, if you read that book, you'll find out his book, his teachings. He's speaking against this whole idea of the prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel, you know, that... that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So he's teaching against that on the one hand, but he's also teaching the opposite side of the coin. And you know, what can you say? He's an absolutely exquisite communicator and a dear brother in the faith. Hopefully that helps, Mandu. A lot of people, you know, in our Facebook gallery, as it were, let's look at a couple of things coming up on my Facebook feed. I got this handy dandy little iPad now. I can look at all this stuff. So here's someone asking me why I'm interested in the Islamic narrative. And... You know why I'm interested in the Islamic narrative? I mean, it's my subtitle. Islam is the world's fastest growing religion. I mean, think about that. We're talking about a religion that will soon surpass Christianity as the largest religion in the world. And it's time that we got a handle on what this religion entails. I've been asked to do a debate in the near future in New York. And the narrative that I'd be debating is this whole idea that somehow or other Islam is this wonderful religion of peace and tolerance. Well, it is exactly opposite of that. As I point out in my book, there certainly are peaceful and tolerant Muslims, but the religion itself, enshrined in its DNA, is violence against the infidel. Ensconced in its Sharia is inequity for women. I mean, this is an incredible thing that we ought to know about because Islam is moving into Western cultures at a rate that ought to make us breathless. It's time that we learned what Islam entails, not to repel, but to reach Muslims who are also people created in the very image and likeness of God, many of whom have given themselves to the skin of the truth stuffed with a pernicious lie. So this is something that we can't shy away from. And I finally decided to spend 3 years researching this. Obviously knew a lot about Islam before I started that project, but I wanted to write a book to help people get their hands around this subject. And if you want to know about how Muslims are creating genocide in the Middle East, in places like Iraq or Syria, and many other places, this book, The Last Christians, is an eye-opener. Completely authentic. Andreas Knopf's stories of persecution, flight, and resilience in the Middle East. Just a fantastic resource available for those who support the ministry. We need many of you to do that. You know, we're approaching year-end. I know we have a couple of months before we cash out this year, as it were, but we do need people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. You know, I don't know who Manian has come back and he said it's better to spread your message on its own merit and leave Islam be. You know, I point out that contrast is the mother of clarity. And so it is true, and I tell Christians this all the time, you have to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you need to know it instantaneously. But that does not mean that you should not be exposing the false narrative that is being communicated by Western elites, a very dangerous narrative. Melissa Buckby is asking a question, how can there be no more tears in eternity with Jesus when we have the eternal understanding that the ones who have not been chosen or have not chosen their Creator are forever apart from us? Melissa, is a fantastic question, and let me just answer that question by saying that we're going to have a completely different perspective when we get to heaven. We're going to see things from God's perspective, and sometimes I try to liken this to being in a courtroom. If you're in a courtroom and the judge makes a perfect decision, and let's imagine that you know all the details of what happened. You actually were an eyewitness to something that happens. And now it's a course case. And you see that the judge makes a perfect decision. He's taken into consideration every single converging factor. And his sentence then is not only just, but it's merciful. God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. And you don't have a full-orbed sense of who God is unless you take both of those aspects of the nature of God into consideration. So we'll see things from God's perspective, and we will rejoice that God does everything perfectly. You know, God does not force himself on people in this life or in the life to come. He allows people to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit. So we will be absolutely, Melissa, absolutely delighted with the righteousness, the mercy, and the justice of God.
Yeah, that was one of the most impactful things you said to me on the broadcast before you talked to someone, and she asked about this very question, and you said, well, God's not going to put someone somewhere they don't want to be. And I never really thought about it that way. And I think that, I mean, that's what God values so much, is that we have a choice because he loves us. It's like having a teenager, you know, who wants to do their own thing. You know, you love them, you can't force them to do what you want, but because you love them, you're not going to lock them in a corner and make sure they do whatever you want. But I think that I wanted to get you to talk about, Humayun had another perspective, and I just wanted you to talk about this a little bit, if that's okay.
Well,
or you could do something else.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. What about Christian bombs dropping on Muslims? Is that what you're getting at?
Do we blame all Christians in your Bible? I just wanted to, I kind of was just curious about that answer, so.
Yeah, I mean, evil is evil, whether it's a prostitution of the Christian faith or it's a prostitution of Islam. But think about this. Prostitution of the Christian faith would be to stand in opposition of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Prostitution of the Muslim faith would be to stand in opposition of what Muhammad teaches. There's so many other things that I'd love to get to, and we will as soon as we close out the radio segment of the broadcast. You can hear from the music that we're almost out of radio time, but I'll continue on for a few moments with our Facebook Live listeners, YouTube, and other digital media platforms. Do thank everybody that makes this ministry a possibility, particularly as we continue to grow in the last year. Please consider standing with us prayerfully as well as financially. Give generously and make a difference. Touch the lives of people all around the world. Out of time for the radio audience for now. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.